Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. A very, very warm welcome to you all here at Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our congregation and our community, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us today for the first time or doing so after a long while. And it's good to be back here in the church house. I feel like it's warmer than usual. Can I ask all of us to put our hands together for Dawn and the property committee for the good job they have done? We are also welcoming those who are worshiping with us this morning via Zoom, and those who will be listening to our service afterwards from our church website. We hope that all of us will find joy in our worship this morning as we connect with one another. And afterwards, we are all invited to come to the church hall for teas and coffees and cakes and biscuits and other nice things of life. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful, 137. Let us pray. Loving and almighty God, we thank you for the rest we received during the night and for the gift of a new day filled with light and hope. As we gather in your presence this morning, we ask that you meet each of us where we are and hear our prayers. Bless us as we come together to worship you in spirit and in truth, and let your grace fall upon us anew. Lord, we come before you recognizing our need for your mercy. Like the father in the Gospel of Mark who brought his son to Jesus, we acknowledge our struggles and the times our faith has faltered. Forgive us when we have doubted you, relied on our own strength, or let fear and worry take hold. We confess our pride and selfishness, the times we have neglected your word, and the ways we have failed to show love to others. We have not always put your kingdom first, and we ask for your forgiveness. Have mercy on us, Lord, and cleanse us from all that separates us from you. Renew our hearts and strengthen our faith so that we may walk in your ways with a spirit of trust and obedience. Restore us, O God, and fill us with your assurance, the assurance of your love and grace, so that we may leave this place refreshed and ready to follow you. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Love divine, all loves excelling, hymn 519, our next hymn.
Thank you. to our children to come up to the front, please? That'd be great. Cool. I'm going to need a few volunteers this morning to help me out. Would anybody like to help me out? Right, Haley, yes, do you want to come up? You're going to be our King Saul, if that's all right. So, okay. Can I get another volunteer? Somebody that's relatively small? Lewis, yeah, you can come up, come up. Okay. So can you go over to Shane and get your stuff on? That's okay. And Lewis, you're going to be our David. Okay. Now, I need an adult who's really tall, about my height, who's willing to come out and help out. Would you like to come out, son? Thank you very much. Okay. Can you guess who you're going to be this morning? No idea? No, one of the most famous stories in the Bible involving a young shepherd boy and a big man who's scary and mean. And Sam, you're going to be our Goliath this morning. But I don't have any weapons for you, but I need you to, you know, act it out for me. Can you do that?
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much. Great. There's a wee chair over there, Ariel. Can you come up and be our king? Thank you very much. Or I should say King Saul. Come on. Sit in your throne. That's it. There you go. Our King Saul. Right. David, our young shepherd boy. He's only about 15 at the time. So Lewis, you've aged a little bit. That's good. Okay. But he's about this height. And he looked after his father's sheep. When all his brothers, lots of them, went off to war with the Philistines. And now these sheep were in the hills. If anybody's seen any sheep before, you've seen sheep, they're pretty dumb, aren't they? Have you ever seen sheep falling into wells and stuff? No, Sam? Please stand. I'm going to get to you. You have to stand up for this. Sheep, when they get pulled out of something, they just jump back in. So they're pretty dumb animals. So you need to go out and looking for all your sheep. Oh, look, you've done it already. Well done. But some of the sheep that are out in the hills are getting attacked by lions and bears. Do you think you can fight them off? Yeah, do you think so? Show me your fighting stuff. Come on. Okay. Yeah? Do you think you can get them? I think you can get them too. So David might be small, but he's really strong. That's the point of us telling that a little bit. So his brothers are off fighting the Philistines and Goliath. By the way, see that piece of paper up there? Do you see the piece of paper? The bottom of it, that's actually Goliath's height from the floor. It's huge, isn't it? Lewis, just go stand next to the pillar for me, just for a second. Do you think you can fight that person? Yeah, you think so? Good. Right answer, right. So Sam, you're a little bit smaller than that, but you're going to do great, I'm sure. So one day, David's father called him and asked him to take a bag of roasted grain, 10 loaves, and 10 cheeses to his brothers in the army. Can I have you, you, and you? Come on, Sam. Right, I want you to be David's brothers, okay? So you're like ready to fight as well, okay, you're ready to fight. But some of you might be a bit exhausted, a bit tired, you know. You're really hungry and you're waiting for some food to come to the line. So can you go to Jane, dump the sheep, and then come back and then give your brother some food. Okay, they're really hungry. Now, when David got there, he couldn't believe Goliath was shouting. Just go, ah! Yeah, that's it, thanks. His defiance against the army of the living God. And the Israelites were running away terrified. David went to the king. Go to your king. And he said, I'll fight this Philistine. So point to Goliath. I'll fight him. Yeah, I'll fight him. And that's it. David, Saul goes, what? There you go. You're only a boy. He's been fighting man since before you were born. David goes, listen. When I was looking after my father's sheep, what did you fight off again? And? Bears. That's it. Big bears. Came and ran off with the sheep. I killed it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. The God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will surely deliver me from this Philistine. Saul went, go and the Lord be with you. Now, can you go and dress David? Can you help David get dressed with his armor? Is that okay, Ariel? Because this is what Saul does. Saul was like, I trust God somewhat, but do you know what? I'm going to give him all my armor. So can you put on the helmet, the coat, give him the sword. It's big, isn't it? Okay. Right. You guys are in the front lines facing Goliath, but you're scared. So face him. But you're scared. There we go. Okay. Is that quite heavy?
Tiny
bit. Is it quite cumbersome?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite cumbersome, isn't it? Okay. I don't think that's going to suit you. I think that's too heavy for you to face Goliath. I think you should take it off. So David goes, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to take off all the armor and the helmet and the shield and the big and massive coat, and I'm going to grab a sling and 5 smooth stones. Sorry. Okay. You can sit back in your chair. Okay. That's right. Okay. And David goes and stands in front of Goliath. Right. And Goliath looked at him and he laughed at him. Give me a big chuckly laugh, Sam. Go on. There you go. I feel like that's how Goliath would laugh. Do you think I'm a dog, Goliath said, that you come at me with sticks? Come here and I'll give your flesh to the birds, he said. David replied, you come against me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies of Israel. Today the Lord will give you over to me. And it goes on. Then the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Then David put a stone in his sling. Goliath's getting ready to charge him down. Okay. And as Goliath starts charging, Goliath lets go of the rock. And it miraculously hits Goliath in the forehead. And Goliath falls down on the ground. And the Israelites cheered and chased off the Israel's army. Well done, guys. You can stand up. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sam. You guys can go and sit down. Now, that's a really good story, isn't it? What are some of the giants that we can face in today's society? What are some of the things that we find most difficult, or people most find difficult? What about homework? Lots and lots of homework. Yeah? Yeah, you get lots of homework. Yeah? What about maybe someone bullying somebody else at school? That's quite hard, isn't it? What for adults, maybe some things like debt could be an issue, or like marriage troubles, or like illness, or even death. These are some of the giants we face today. And they can seem massive like Goliath was, but if we've got God on our side, we can overcome anything. Yeah? That makes sense? Awesome. I'm going to invite Catherine up to do our birthday blessings for this month.
Good morning, and thank you for all our role play maestros. You did a grand job. So it's time for birthday blessings. We've not done this for a little while. Who remembers birthday blessings? Yeah. Okay. So who has had a birthday, we'll say, maybe since you guys came back to school from summer? Has anyone had a birthday since then? No, that's okay. Well, we'll keep doing this along the year and you'll hopefully get to celebrate. But I'm going to pray for you all just now, okay? Okay, let us pray. Lord God, thank you so much for these children we have here. Thank you that they're willing to get involved in your work, both in front of our congregation and out in the world. I pray your blessing upon them, that they may be warriors like David to go out in the world and fight for you. Amen.
We're going to sing a new song. Some of them we sung at Mess Church, or maybe even Hall Club, but definitely Mess Church. It's called My God is the King of Giants, so King of Me. We've got some actions to do with the chorus. You know the actions? So the chorus goes like this, and I would like everybody to join in, okay? My God's the king of the giants, so stretch out really hard. My God is the king of the lions. My God is the king of the creatures of the deep. my God is the King of me. Think we got that?
Yep.
Okay, everyone stand up on your feet. There is words in your orders of service, but there will be a video up on the screen as well, okay? So turn your eyes to the screen and we'll get going.
My friend King Dave wouldn't let the giant stand in his way. He said, hand me my sling, cause he's not that tall. My God is bigger and I watch him fall. My God's the King of the Giants. My God's the King of the Lions. My God's the King of the creatures of the deep. My God's the King of me. Have you heard the about this guy called Dan? Yes, he was a mighty holy praying man. They said throw him to the den of the scary beast, but God saved a hero from the lion's teeth. Yeah, my God's the King of the Giants. My God's the King of the Lions. My God's the King of the creatures of the deep. My God's the King of me. Jonah and the whale at sea. When I'm lost and afraid, all alone in the dark, you're with me. Oh, you're with me. My God's the King of the Giants. My God's the King of the Lions. My God's the King of the creatures of the deep. My God's the King of me. My God's the King of the Giants. My God's the King of the Lions. My God's the King of the creatures of the deep. God's the King of me.
Our first lesson is taken from the first book of Samuel, reading from chapter 17, verses 1 to 9 and 37 to 51. It can be followed on the overhead screen or found on page 288 in the Pew Bible. David and Goliath. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soco in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim, between Soco and Issachar. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied the hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and his iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out here and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come out here down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, he will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Reading now from verse 37. Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine and his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give you flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell down dead. So David triumphed over the Philistine with his sling and stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Our second lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, reading from chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, and can be found on page 1177 in the Pew Bible, entitled, "The Armour of God." "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Thanks be to God. These readings from his holy word.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we open your word, as we reflect from the pages of Scripture, we ask for the light of your Holy Spirit to shine upon us. Illuminate our hearts and minds so that we may understand your truth, embrace your wisdom, and be transformed by your love through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us reflect together this morning on the theme, Standing Firm in the Armor of God. Standing firm in the armor of God. In a charming village situated between two towering mountains, there lived a young knight named Cedric. For years, he had honed his skills under the vigilant guidance of his mentor, Sir Alex, a battle-hardened warrior who carried the weight of many campaigns in his gaze. When news arrived of a looming war with a formidable enemy advancing from the north, a wave of unease swept through the village. Though Cedric had been chosen to stand among the knights who would defend their home, and despite his mastery of sword and bow, a quiet fear tightened its grip on his heart, whispering doubts that even his years of training could not silence. On the night of the battle, Cedric sought out Sir Alex for one final lesson. The old knight was sitting by the fire, his worn armor glowing in the flickering light. Cedric confessed his doubts, saying, "I have trained my whole life for this moment, but I do not feel ready. How can we possibly win against such a powerful foe?" Sir Alex looked at him with a calm, knowing expression. "Cedric," he said, "the true battle is not against flesh and steel, but against fear, doubt, and despair. It is not enough to wield a sword if your heart is unguarded. There is a greater armor that you must put on, the armor of the spirit." Cedric was puzzled. "But how can I fight an enemy I cannot see?" "You fight by standing firm," Sir Alex replied, "with courage as your shield and hope as your helmet. It is not your strength that will win the day, but the strength that comes from a deeper source. Do not forget, Cedric, that the battle is not only fought on the battlefield, it is fought first within." Dear Christian friends, in history and literature, the image of a leader addressing troops before battle is stirring and powerful. From Shakespeare's Henry V at Agincourt to General Patton rallying his soldiers, such speeches prepare, fortify, and inspire those facing a formidable foe. In Ephesians 6:10-18, the Apostle Paul delivers a similar call to arms, urging Christians to prepare for a cosmic struggle, not with weapons of iron, but with the armor of God. This battle is spiritual, not physical. That is why Paul teaches us how to stand firm in God's armor and how it equips us for the trials we all face. The Apostle Paul opens by revealing the true nature of our struggle, not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil. These battles often manifest in everyday conflicts, social, political, or personal, but their roots lie in a deeper spiritual reality. The forces of darkness aim to disrupt God's work, sow division, and drain hope. Our response must go beyond worldly solutions. It must be spiritual, empowered by God's strength. Although Christ has already secured victory through his resurrection, the fight continues. The devil and his forces have not ceased to resist God's redemptive purposes. We are not called to achieve victory by our own might, but to stand firm in the victory already won. As C.S. Lewis observed, there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. Understanding this helps us recognize that spiritual resistance is an ongoing reality for the believer. To prepare us for this ongoing battle, Paul outlines the armor of God, a set of divine resources for defense and resilience, designed not for conquest, but for perseverance. Each piece plays a distinct role in protecting us from the enemy's attacks. Standing firm in the armor of God means living with integrity anchored in God's truth, shielding our hearts with Christ's righteousness, carrying the gospel message of peace, trusting God's promises to extinguish doubt, securing our minds with salvation, and wielding God's word to cut through deception. And then Paul emphasizes the importance of persistent prayer. Prayer maintains communication with God, aligns believers with his will, and provides the strength needed to face spiritual challenges. through prayer, we are reminded that no matter the hardship, we are never without hope or divine support. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in today's world, the struggles we face extend far beyond physical and psychological challenges. They touch the spiritual realm, where darkness seeks to amplify our deepest fears and exploit our weaknesses. Many suffer from anxiety, depression, and loneliness, conditions with medical and psychological roots, but also a spiritual dimension where feelings of worthlessness and despair are magnified by the enemy. The shield of faith can be our protection, extinguishing the fiery darts of doubt and accusation, allowing us to trust in God's promises and find strength in His unfailing love. Addiction and temptations, whether involving substances, harmful habits, or damaging behaviors, often trap people in cycles of shame and guilt. Here, the belt of truth grounds us in God's liberating truth, helping us reject the lies that keep us in bondage, while the breastplate of righteousness guards our hearts, reminding us that our identity is secure in Christ's righteousness, not our failures. Systemic evils like racial injustice, social inequality, and economic disparity continue to plague societies, stirring division and animosity. The shoes of the gospel of peace can empower us to step forward as agents of reconciliation, promoting unity and healing where hatred and discrimination prevail. True peace is found not through worldly means, but through the transformative power of the gospel, which breaks down barriers and fosters lasting harmony. The devastation caused by wars and armed conflicts, from Ukraine and Russia to the Middle East, reveals the chaos wrought by spiritual forces that thrive on hatred and violence. Although the armor of God does not prepare us for physical combat, it can equip us to respond to conflict with the gospel of peace, prayer, and a commitment to justice and reconciliation, sowing seeds of hope even in the midst of destruction. Within our own hearts, the cultural emphasis on materialism and secularism breeds complacency and spiritual apathy, weakening the Christian life. To combat this, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, continually renews our minds and reignites our spiritual fervor, reminding us of the urgency to live out our faith with vigilance and purpose. Even within the church, the forces of evil aim to fracture the body of Christ through doctrinal disputes, cultural differences, and personal conflicts. But the armor of God empowers us to pursue reconciliation and unity through the gospel of peace and the truth of God's word, resisting the enemy's attempts to weaken our collective witness. Friend, these battles, whether personal, social, or global, reflect the spiritual struggle described by Paul. But God's armor is not for retreat, it is for resilience. It gives us the divine resources to resist evil, stand firm in our faith, and confront darkness with the light of Christ, allowing us to overcome adversity with the confidence that God's power is greater than any force against us. Dear friends, as I bring this sermon to a close, I am reminded of the story from Mark 9:14-29. Where a father brings his demon-possessed son to the disciples, desperate for help. The boy had been afflicted since childhood, and no one seemed able to set him free. Even the disciples struggled and failed. But Jesus Christ arrives and the Father pleads, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus Christ responds, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. And with that, he commands the unclean spirit to leave, restoring the boy to wholeness. This passage reminds us of two crucial truths that echo through our sermon today: the ongoing spiritual battle we face and the power of God that secures our victory. Just as that boy's affliction went beyond mere human suffering, our battles go beyond earthly circumstances and conflicts. The powers of darkness wage war against our hearts and minds, seeking to rob us of peace, hope, and joy. We may feel like the father in that story, overwhelmed, unmatched, and desperate for deliverance. But hear this, Christ stands with us, and his power knows no limits. The forces of evil may seem daunting, but they are no match for the one who has already defeated them. As St. Augustine of Hippo once commented, the devil is like a mad dog tied to a chain. Beyond the length of the chain, he cannot seize anyone. And if one stays far enough away, he will never be beaten. Stay far from him, and he will not bite you. Yes, we are still engaged in the fight, but we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. Jesus' death and resurrection have secured the ultimate triumph over sin, death, and all the powers of hell. The decisive battle has already been won, and the devil's fate is sealed. Yet, like a defeated enemy refusing to surrender, the forces of darkness continue to resist the attack. But we are not called to conquer them on our own. We are called to stand firm, equipped with the armor of God. Again, C.S. Lewis was right, or was he not, when he wrote that we are living in a part of the universe occupied by the rebel. Enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is. But Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed. You might say landed in disguise and is calling us all to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. Wonderful ideas. As you leave this place this morning and step into a new week, do so with confidence. Know that no matter what you face in your life, whether it is fear, temptation, illness, or conflict, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You are not alone, and you are not defenseless. God's armor surrounds you. His spirit empowers you, and his love secures you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth and power of your word that has equipped us today. As we go forth into the week ahead, fill us with a renewed sense of confidence and purpose. Grant us the courage to be faithful, not only in the grand battles, but also in the quiet struggles and moments of doubt. May we go forth armored in your might, declaring the victory of Christ, who goes before us, surrounds us, and fights for us. In his mighty name we pray. Amen. We sing again from our hymn books. Our next hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, 561. Thank you. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us intercede for ourselves and for others. Heavenly Father, we bring these gifts before you with grateful hearts, acknowledging that all we have comes from your hand. We dedicate our offering to your service, asking that you use it to further your kingdom and bring hope to those in need. Dear Father, we come before you with grateful hearts. We are reminded of your presence among us, and we cherish the unity we share in Christ. We give you praise for the love and encouragement we receive from one another, strengthening us as we walk together in faith. Lord, we lift up the individual battles that each of us faces, whether it is fear, doubt, temptation, or sorrow. We ask for your grace to overcome them. Equip us, Lord, with the armor of God, so that we may stand firm in our struggles. May your truth guide our hearts and your peace guide our steps. Grant us faith to extinguish every flaming arrow of the evil one, and let your word be our strength and shield. We pray too for the battles of the church, the battles the church encounters across the world. As the body of Christ is faced with persecution, division, and spiritual apathy, we ask for your protection. Strengthen your people, Lord, to stand firm in your truth, that the church may continue to be a light in the darkness, proclaiming your gospel of peace. Unite us in love and mission, that we may resist the schemes of the enemy and advance your kingdom on earth. Father, we bring before you the battles that rage in our world, wars and conflicts, rumors of war, and the suffering they bring. We pray for peace in war-torn regions, healing for the brokenhearted, and justice where there is injustice. We ask that you soften the hearts of leaders and bring an end to violence. May your spirit move powerfully, comforting those affected by conflict and stirring hope where there is despair. We pray for the United Kingdom and its challenges, whether social, political, or spiritual. Grant wisdom to those in positions of authority, that they may lead with righteousness and compassion. Strengthen the church in the United Kingdom, that it may be a voice of truth, a refuge for the weary, and a beacon of your love. We also remember the sick and the dying and all who mourn. Comfort them with your presence and grant them peace that surpasses all understanding. For those who are ill, we pray for healing and strength. For the grieving, we ask that you hold them close, reminding them you are near to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. And now, Lord, we thank you for your unfailing love and peace that sustains us despite our burdens. We rest in the assurance that no matter what we face, you are with us and your power is made perfect in our weakness. May we always be strong in you and in the power of your might. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. A final hymn, 167. Serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.